So that's what we're going to do. Psalms 23, been there many times before. It's going to be a little different this morning. Tonight, trying to decide if we should have night service or not. It's Easter. I'm going to have night service. It's not going to be a drive-in, just to the normal Facebook Live we have been doing. Anyway, 6 p.m., we plan on being back in Psalms 23 tonight. But this is this morning, Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ryan, would you pray for us and open us up the service?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay for our sins, the wonderful salvation that you brought because of that. Please return soon. Coronavirus gets over here soon, over soon, so that we can all get back to our regular lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you know, we've been studying Psalms 23 for the past 8 weeks, I believe it is. I think where video can see us too. I apologize to those at home watching. You should be here. That would fix the problem. But anyway, that's where we got Wi-Fi, is right there in front of the church. Anyway, we have been studying Psalms 23 for the past 8 weeks, I believe it is. And there's still some more there. And Lord willing, we'll be back there again tonight. But this morning, it being Easter Sunday, I wanted to back up and look at something a little differently this morning. We know that Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We've read that many, many times now. We preached about that. We spent some time talking about how important that really is, how important that phrase is, how he chose to be our great shepherd. Sometimes a shepherd must put his life in jeopardy if he intends on keeping his sheep safe from harm. Our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, our great shepherd, he did just that. He did it in a way that no other shepherd ever in the history of shepherding has ever done, nor will ever be able to do again. Our great shepherd came to earth and became a lamb himself to take our place. The shepherd that for a moment became a lamb. So I'm going to preach on this morning, a spotless, a perfect lamb. Not some dumb old sheep like the rest of us. We will get to that more in a minute, but a perfect, spotless lamb. All of us sheep were bound for death. We were bound for the slaughterhouse. As Gentiles, I had no hope at all. But there was a shepherd who decided to become a lamb to sacrifice for us so he might make us. So for a few minutes this morning, I want to step back from Psalms 23. Let's go one chapter back, Psalms 22. I'm going to preach a little while on the Lord is my lamb. Not only is the Lord my shepherd, my lamb, sacrificial lamb. You might be sitting there saying, I don't know about that, preacher. Lamb, he is mighty and powerful and holy, and you are exactly right. He is. He is all those things. But he also chose to humble himself and do the job of a sacrificial lamb. John 1:36 says, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist recognized this. He hasn't seen him before. He met him once before he was born. This is the first time they met face to face. And John says, that's my Lamb. The great shepherd, behold. He was different than us. We know that. He is not the same as the rest of us sheep. I preached in Psalms 23 about those sheep. And now, none of us want to admit it. Like a bunch of old dumb sheep a lot of times. We talked about how the sheep are difficult and they're defenseless and directionless and dumb and easily disturbed and calls. We looked at those things and how we can fit ourselves at some point into every one of those categories. At some point we do those different things, we can fit right in there just with those sheep. Jesus, as we know, doesn't fit in any of those. He's not difficult. He's not the author of confusion. He's not defenseless. He could speak one word and destroy the entire world if he wanted to. He could breathe and do that if he wanted to. He's not directionless. He has a plan for every one of us here. He knows where we're headed. He's definitely not dumb. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows he's not easily disturbed. He can give you the peace that passes all understanding when no other peace is around. He can give peace. He's not easily disturbed. He's definitely not detrimental to his own cause. He has a plan. He's going to follow through with it every time. He doesn't make mistakes. So he's different than us sheep, but he became a lamb. So Jesus, although he is called like a dumb old sheep, a lamb. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was precious and he was perfect. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was no sinner. He was no dumb old sheep. But he took on that pain, that load, the punishment for sin that us sheep deserved there on Calvary. We know that we are sheep. We were sheep headed for Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Three chapters over, 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We are sinners, and if we're not for the grace of God, it would be us that would have to suffer and bleed and die and spend eternity in a place called hell because of our sins. We know that. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because of him, we can have eternal life. Because of the Lamb. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 13, "The Lord shall be saved." All this was done because David's shepherd, briefly become a lamb. A shepherd who also became a lamb. He lived his life 33 and a half years here on earth. He endured pain. He endured temptation. Like we preached on last week, he endured that same valley of shadow of death that David endured, the same exact valley. He understands, like it says in Hebrews, "We have not be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Our shepherd knows what it is like to live the life of a sheep. And even more than that, he knows what it's like to be a sacrificial lamb. "The Lord is my lamb today. Is he yours?" And I told you I was going to go back to Psalms 22. And that's where we're headed right now. Psalms 22, it's a messianic psalm. That means it speaks of the mind of Christ. This psalm of David, written by David in particular, is a prophecy of the mind of Christ on the cross. And you can see in the Gospels that these prophecies will play out. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. David, thousands of years, at least 1,000 years before, wrote a psalm about the mind of Christ when he would hang on the cross in the future. Now, right now, we're looking back at the cross. The Old Testament, David there was writing, that was looking forward to the cross. So that David actually described what Jesus' mind would be at least 1,000 years before it ever happened. You say, how can that be? That's the Holy Spirit inspired Word of God. With that in mind, let's look at Psalms 22 and go ahead and read the whole chapter there. It's not too long. It says, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And the night season, am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusts on the Lord that would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my body. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorns I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. I want to go through this psalm today and skip over a few verses, try to go verse by verse and get through somewhat quickly and see what Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ felt. We see his emotional pain. We'll get to that. We'll see his physical pain. We'll read his words, what he thought, what was on his mind, what came out of his mouth. Let's take a quick look at what our Lamb went through for us on Calvary. As you've probably heard before, there are seven last sayings of Christ on the cross. You can read about those in the Gospels. Some people believe that Jesus quoted the entire 22nd Psalm while he's there on the cross. I don't know if he did, but we can find those seven sayings either recorded here in Psalms 22, or at least the idea referenced, his mind with those words referenced in Psalms 22. That's what we're going to look at today. Number one, the first saying he mentioned on the cross, mentioned also here in Psalms 22, "My God, my God, hast thou forsaken me?" So in verse 1, "My God, my God, so me," and from the words of my roaring, "Oh my God, I cried in the daytime, thou hearest not, and the night season, and am not silent." Many different authors have tried to make light of this first phrase here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They try to translate it in different ways. But I want to point out the human suffering Jesus had to go through. What he said, it says in Matthew 27:46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God." See, the same prophecy in Psalms 22 fulfilled there in Matthew 27. It's what he said. The great God of heaven, the heavenly Father, literally turned his back on his own son this time on the cross, these few hours on the cross. His son was bearing the burden of sin. God could not look on our sin. So Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, our shepherd, he was also our lamb, was abandoned by God the Father for a short time. He literally suffered. It was literal pain, literal abandonment. He was left to suffer and bleed and die on the cross. That's in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, the grace of God should take in. For as much then as our partaker, but he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He was literally lowered from his position for just a very short time. He was made a little lower, said he was made to die. He humbled himself and suffered pain and abandonment on the cross as our lamb. He was abandoned. We see his cry. He talks about the words of his roaring in verse 1. Literally roaring like a lion. That's what that means. We know at his trials, Jesus was, in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was silent at the trial. He was silent as a lamb going to slaughter. He didn't fight him. While they beat him, he was quiet. While they drove the nails in his hands, we don't read him about him. We don't read about him uttering a sound. Yet when God forsook him, he roared like a lion. I dare say the hardest pain that he felt on the cross, not the human suffering, it was being abandoned by God the Father. It says in verse number 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Why did God the Father forsake him? Because thou art holy. God the Father is with Jesus when he was born. He was with him all the way to him in prison. He was with him when he walked up the Calvary's hill. He was with him while the nails were going through his hands and feet. But for those 3 hours there on the cross, God turned his back on Jesus Christ. He had to. We cannot fathom that as humans. No one on earth is forsaken by God. None of us are. We know that no matter how vile the sin, the past, what your past is, God has forgiven sin. God can forgive sin. He can forgive your sin if you ask him. We all have the opportunity to turn to Christ for redemption. We all, every one of us has the opportunity. But for these short hours, Christ hung there on the wheel while his Father turned his back on him. You say, why would he do that? Again, Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. to put him to grief, just to make his soul an offering for sin. Just so he could be not only our shepherd, but so he could be our lamb. Forsaken by God, just so he could be a lamb. Verses 4 and 5, he talks about others that were in trouble that God helped. He says, they cried and they were delivered. Yet Jesus roaring, and there's no God the Father to hear him. It says in verse number 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of people. He says, I am become a nobody, lower than everybody else. I am no man. I am a worm, Jesus says about himself there on the cross. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, of our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was despised. He was rejected. He says, I am a worm. Jesus calls himself a worm. That worm in Hebrew is taula, which means, which is the crimson grub, or the scarlet worm is what it's called. Used the curtains of the temple red. These worms were used to change the color. They were used as a dye in the temple. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, and let us reason together, as saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus says, I may be as low as a worm, but I'm doing a work. I'm washing away sin, changing the color of sin. Even in his lowest state, his blood was cleansing those sin stains away. The Father may have forsaken him for that time. He had to bear our sins. Even in that state, he was still changing our lives, washing us pure snow. He's our lamb. A lamb. You know, he said, they know, talking about his Father forsaking him. Say, Father, forgive them. Luke 23:34 says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they part his raiments and cast lots. Psalms 22, verse number 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusts in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Look at a mob today. They will hurt somebody. They'll beat somebody, and then they'll disperse. Snake will slither up. It'll bite you on the heel or bat you wherever. And the snake doesn't stick around to see what your reaction is to the poison. A snake bites and a snake leaves. That was not the case with those that crucified my shepherd. Matthew 27:36 says, and sitting down there, they threw him in prison before the crowd. They nailed him to a cross. And then they sat around and watched him suffer and bleed and die. And sitting down, they watched him there. These are no ordinary people. This is satanic. This is wicked. How low and perverted and messed up in the mind you have to be to sit and watch the King of the Jews hang naked on the cross for hours, watch him bleed and watch him die. It says in Psalms 22, all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, they sat down, they laughed, they hollered, they shook their heads at my Lord and Savior while he hung on the cross. They ripped his clothes off of him. They parted his garments. They sold the clothes off his back. They gambled on him. And they said, and what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have a great lamb. He forgave them. He says, woman, behold, that's number 3. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, behold, woman, behold, thy son. Jesus is hanging on the cross. His family is watching, standing by. Jesus looks down and says, son. In Psalms 22, it gives us what's going on in his mind while he's saying this. Verse number 9, Psalms 22. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, that is, makest me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. It was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. His mind goes all the way back to Bethlehem when he was born. While he grew, he's talking about the Father. As to Mary, behold thy son. Back in chapter 2 of John, Jesus is at a wedding. Mary wants Jesus to turn the water into wine. Jesus says, woman, the hour is not yet. Now at the cross, he says, behold, woman, thy son. Mine hour has come. Verse 12 through 14 is looking back at those that have crucified him. He looks away from his mother and back at those that the wicked. Verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. He talks about those strong bulls of Bashan in reference to the Roman soldiers. Verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a remnant and a that only surround him like a bunch of strong bulls. They gaped upon him. They crucified him. That roaring lion, there's another reference back to Roman Empire, known as the lion. Verse number 14, Psalm 22. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. It's amazing that here in this verse in Psalms is an explanation of the process that happens during a crucifixion. And this was written long before the Roman Empire ever came to be. The Romans are the ones who first started the crucifixions, yet David writes about it here in the Psalms. Another proof, the Scripture is breathed of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm poured out like water. That sweat coming from hanging there on a hill in the heat. Can you imagine the enormous pain he is in and the sweat that's coming from his body? He says, all my bones are at a joint, which is literally what happens when someone's on the cross, between the strain of them holding themselves up plus the dehydration, their joints literally rip apart one by one. He says, my bones are out of joint. He said his heart is literally melting. Doctors have studied and said that the ruptured heart could most likely be the cause of why there was blood and water that poured out when the Roman soldier pierced his side. Jesus literally died of a broken heart, ruptured heart, most likely there on the cross, because he wanted to be our lamb. We see, he talks about his mother. Behold, the son. He says, I thirst, John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Psalms 22:15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou art dust of death. See how accurate this psalm really is. In John, he says, I thirst. In Psalms, he says, you see his mind, he's thinking, my tongue to my jaws. Verse number 16, he continues, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Try to get through. There's that dog there. That's another name for Gentiles. It's Gentile dogs. But if you look at that word there in the Hebrew Psalms, these dogs have compassed me. That word dog there is Caleb in Hebrew. And it means to yelp, to attack, like a dog. And it means a male prostitute. I'm trying to be vulgar this morning. You heard that correctly. It says, if this doesn't fill you up with holy indignation, I don't know what will. Jesus says in Psalms, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. The dogs, the male prostitutes have compassed me. You say, what's the point? Why are you saying that, preacher? Look at verse number 17. It says, they look and they stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments. These wicked, Satan-filled sodomites circle around the feet of Jesus. I promise I'm not trying to be vulgar here. I'm just giving you what the Bible says. It's my shepherd, my lamb. And that's what my sin did to him. It says in verse 17, they look and stare upon me. That look means to look intently. I'm going to try to be as clean as I can. It means to regard with pleasure. That stare means to see, to approve, to behold, and to enjoy. And there's more to that that I'm not going to bring up because we're in mixed company here. These perverts, these sodomites, hung my precious Lord and Savior on Jesus Christ on the cross. They took his clothes off of him. They stared at him. They regarded with pleasure my Lord and Savior, and they gambled on who got to take his clothes home. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. These wicked, no-good, perverted sodomites. I know I'm on the radio and Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else. I don't care. That's what the Bible says. That's what they did to my precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what they did to my lamb for my sins. This is what my sin did to him. This is what your sin did to him. Easter ain't about a stinking rabbit. It's about Jesus that suffered for me and had died for me, and he rose again for me. My Lord is my lamb. He took my place. He took my place. You see, he continues on. We see in Luke, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Psalms 22:19. But be not far from me, O Lord, all my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. He says, my darling from the power of the dog. That phrase, my darling, it means an only child, a beloved child. Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, Jesus says, behold, Lord, I'm your beloved Son. Help me. Psalms 22:21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. From the lion's mouth, I would Satan, one of his demons, the devil, and all of hell thought they had him. Oh, but Sunday is coming. Resurrection is coming. Those horns of unicorns talks about the wild beasts that would devour him and trample him if it were not for God. Continues on, thou shalt be with me in paradise, Jesus says in Luke 23:42. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You remember the thief on the cross. And the one on the right side, he asked Jesus to remember him when he comest into the kingdom. He put his faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, today, in paradise. And I believe he was a thief, one that deserved the punishment he was getting. Jesus simultaneously was shedding his blood as an atonement for the sin that that man over there was being punished for. I believe verse 25 and 26 are a reference to that this year. It says, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. What does that mean? I'll pay my vows. He cannot lie. Verse 26, then shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. I will pay my vows. In other words, I'll keep my promises. Aren't you glad of that this morning? He keeps his vows. He pays his vows. Verse 27 through 30. We're speaking of God on the throne, his kingdom. He is a governor of that Jesus that put, that Jesus that just called himself a worm a few verses back is still the governor of nations. Again, verse 29. You keep alive his soul. Amen. It's all up to him. We couldn't do it ourselves if we wanted to. We couldn't save ourselves if we wanted to. If it weren't for the Lamb, we all be in hell today. Verse 29, we see all that. Continues on. He says, it is finished in the Gospels. Psalms 22:31 says, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people. It shall be born that he hath done this. That he hath done this. In other words, it is finished. Past tense. He hath done this. It's done. Unto a people that shall be born. That is us. We shall. But it is done. That he hath done this. He hath done what? He hath been crucified and buried and risen again. He hath become our sin atonement. He has become our lamb. The shepherd has become a lamb. He says it's done. John 19:30. Jesus, therefore, I received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. All the prophecies that had to be fulfilled here were fulfilled. The job was done. It is finished. We know he died near the temple, the veil rent in two. It was opened up. The altar was opened up for us to come before him. He became our atonement. You know the rest of the story. Jesus hung there. He died. He was stabbed in the side with a Roman soldier. That's another prophecy. They normally break the legs because what Isaiah said, they stabbed him instead. The blood and the water came out. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. On Friday the second day, he was there, by the way. Friday is a good Friday. He didn't die on Friday. There's not 3 days between Friday and Sunday. Anyway, that's another message. But the women brought the spices to the grave. Saturday, their Sabbath, they rested. Sunday, they came back again with spices, and Jesus was gone. Mary met him in the garden. He leaves. Mary goes, applies the blood to the mercy seat in heaven, gives for every sin that ever has been committed and ever will be committed, and he shows back here on earth before they ever get back to town again and meets him on the road. They left the tomb. He went to heaven, and he meets him on the road. He's much faster than they were. They meet. He spends a few more days down here giving some instructions about the church, and he sends up into heaven. Shepherd became a lamb, but now he's on the throne, and he's a king. The next time he comes back, he's going to rule. He's not going to be a lamb again. That is finished. It is done. He has completed it. Can I remind you this Easter Sunday morning? It's not about a rabbit or an egg or candy or a basket. I know some are disappointed because all those things are being shipped over this year because stuff going on. But can I remind you, Jesus, our spotless, precious lamb, our shepherd, our savior, he's still on the throne and he's still worth celebrating. He is worth it. I don't care if we can hunt eggs or not. He's still worth it. He's still for us. He still deserves the celebration. He did all of that for us. All he went through in Psalms 22 was for me and was for you. We don't deserve it. But what a good shepherd he really is. Willing to become a man, to become sin, just to give us a way of escape. The Lord is not only my shepherd this morning. The Lord is my life. Without you? Are you saved this morning? I can't think of any better day than Easter Sunday morning to get that settled. Are you saved today? If you'd like to discuss that more, you wave me down, I'll come. We'll stay 6 feet apart, whatever we got to do. Call me on the phone if you'd rather. We can get that settled today. Please don't go the rest of your life without the Lamb. He's worth it. He's my Lamb. He's the yours. I'm thankful He's a shepherd. And I'm so thankful for Psalms 23 and all we've been learning there about Him being the good shepherd. He took my place. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. He took our place. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for allowing us to. Thank you for rising again. Lord, thank you for shedding your blood for me. Lord, thank you for taking my place. Lord, I don't deserve it. Lord, I pray you bless us. You help us rest today. Help us the service tonight.